Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Today our reading is from John 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches from palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he was Lazarus out of the tomb, raised him from the dead, continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
I love Palm Sunday. I think it's just such a sweet celebration. And I wonder if that many years ago on Palm Sunday, if it wasn't a lot like it is here today, sort of starts off cool in the morning, that expectancy of spring. And then as the day goes on, it warms up. I bet you it was a day much like this. So I actually looked it up on tripadvisor.com to see what Jerusalem would have been like on that morning that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And it says this about springtime. Spring in Jerusalem is that fleeting 2 or 3 week period, sometime late in March or April, where the weather is warm one day and chilly the next. Almond trees would be in blossom with pink buds and on every corner. The red poppies, they would be in empty lots and on road dividers. The season was beautiful. Heat and endless blue skies were about to come for summertime. But right now, in the springtime, no one knew exactly what to expect. It's the part of the thrill of springtime. We know what the weather was like, but we also know that the climate there, the energy of Jerusalem, was always pretty high. It was a bustling town. Any given day, you would have found shoppers. You would have found merchants. You would have found people doing errands. You would have found beggars on the street looking for a handout. But this day was especially busy. It was especially full of energy because people had heard that Jesus might be coming through town. And the reason so many folks were curious about this man named Jesus is the news had just spread that this man named Lazarus had died, and Jesus was able to bring him back to life. Here's what verse 17 says to remind you. It says, "Those in the crowd who had seen Jesus call Lazarus back to life were telling others about it. That was the main reason so many came out to meet him, because they heard about the mighty miracle." You can imagine the buzz of people wanting to check out who Jesus was. There would have been those that wanted to find out who this miracle maker was. What's going on? When's he coming to town? You know, I wonder about those folks. I think the first group of folks in that crowd this morning that we can talk about is the curious. And I think what we're going to find out as we explore who was in that crowd, that you and I have a little piece of each person that stood in the crowd that day. So the curious folks had really fun questions, and I bet you they got some hilarious answers. They probably asked things like this: "Well, where was this man Jesus born?" And someone would have had to say, "Oh, in a barn, in a cave." "Well, where does he live?" "Well, he really doesn't have a home. He's sort of homeless." "Well, when he travels then, what does he take so that he can make it through life?" And they say, "Well, nothing. His sandals and his tunic. He collects people, not things." "Well, where does he go when, if he's always with people, where does he go when he wants to be alone? Where does he kind of hide away?" And someone would have to say, "A mountaintop." Or sometimes he's been seen on a fishing boat in the middle of a lake. Or oftentimes he would kind of move himself away and go spend time in a garden. "Well, who are his people? Who are his friends?" They would have had to say, "Well, they're not very religious. They're these common fisherman or a simple homemaker. Oftentimes, they're sinners with messed up lives that seem to be his friends. Well, where does he teach? I mean, where does he go to tell this news about his father? And they would say, not the temple. He actually uses hillsides and pastures. He often uses anywhere he is on the street with beggars. He didn't really have his own temple. He didn't have a pulpit. No temple? Well, how does he minister to people? He travels. He befriends people. He listens to their need. He walks alongside them. He sits at their table and eats a meal with them. He tells the children, come sit on my lap and let me tell you a story. Sometimes he shows up on long, dusty roads when you're walking. He came without a manual. He has no plan. He just wants to love people. Well, these curious people, I'm sure, became more curious, but yet they still wouldn't be what you would call committed. I think some of why there were so many numbers of curious people lining the streets is probably because everybody else was. And as they'd hear people lift up their palm leaf and start saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, I bet you some of those curious people did the same thing, even though they weren't quite sure what they were saying, yelling out Hosanna, not sure why they were saying it, but it seemed interesting. Others maybe quietly watched and just took in the scene. Now then you have in the crowd the very opposite extreme that we read about, that Boots read. They were called the Pharisees. You and I know who the Pharisees were. They were the temple keepers. They were law keepers. They were the religious of the religious. And they thought they already knew Jesus. They'd been worshiping in the temple for a long time. In fact, this day, they tried not to be so curious because they thought it was kind of odd that everybody was so up in height about it. They were not there to celebrate. Verse 19 says, the Pharisees said to each other, we have lost. Look at this. The whole world has gone after him. See, the Pharisees couldn't be in the moment because they were distracted by what they wanted. They wanted to dispense the crowd. They wanted to know why he was gaining so many followers. That Jesus, they must have said, he is trouble, I tell you. He's making a big wave, and we've got to make it stop. So the Pharisees did not wave their palm branches. They did not put their hands in the air. They did not shout, Hosanna. In fact, some of them probably stood crossed, armed, and said, I knew this was going to happen. They wanted worship in the temple, not on the streets. They needed their worship to look a certain way, and this is way different. And it made them uncomfortable to watch other people find a way of worship that was different than the way they were moved by worship. There was another group in the crowd that day, and they would be believers. I would say probably certainly we could all relate that I would be a believer if I was in the crowd that day. They were ready to celebrate Jesus because they not only had just witnessed him and seen him, but they had been touched by him. Maybe they had had conversations with him. Maybe they had followed him other places and got to hear his message. Here's what it says in verse 12. The next day, the news of Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, swept through the city, and a large crowd of Passover visitors shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. They would have poured into the street, these believers, much like you and me. And what I think is so beautiful about this moment is when they started breaking off the branches off of the tree, that wasn't a planned thing. They didn't get to the town and go, now when we get there, start breaking off some branches. You know what happened? They got so moved in the spirit of that worship moment of getting to see and be in the presence of Jesus, that they just started doing it, saying, we've got to somehow celebrate and worship who he is. Don't you love when the Holy Spirit works that way? When he moves us in worship in a way that we didn't expect. So they're shouting and they're excited. And as Cody said in his children's sermon, they even, some of them took their coats off and threw it and made a big, long, clothed path. The palm branches were flying in the air and they were so excited to shout out Hosanna, which means save me. But isn't it interesting, us as believers and these folks, that just a little while later, just a couple days later, those same folks that were shouting Hosanna would be shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. They would also get caught up in that moment. I think as believers, sometimes we can get wishy-washy. You know, I wonder out of all these folks we've talked about that were in the crowd, if not all of them. They probably all were a little bit disappointed. I mean, they'd heard about this Messiah coming, right? He was the Savior. He was our Hosanna. And he should look like a hero in their minds. I would imagine they had dreamed about him riding in with a white robe with sparkly gold trim and maybe a purple sash, because we know gold means king and purple in that day meant royalty. Maybe he'd ride in on a stallion, or at least a big strong horse. And as he galloped into town, the dust would be flying and the debris would be going every direction. He would have a grand entrance. Maybe right before he comes in to Jerusalem, he could have his disciples and his followers be the first folks to begin the parade. But that is not the way it looked at all. Even the hardcore believers who we call disciples that had followed Jesus every day of Jesus's ministry, do you know that they didn't even recognize what was happening? Here's what it says in verse 16. His disciples did not recognize and realize at the time that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered that the scriptures had come true before their eyes. See, there was a prophet way back, years before Jesus went into Jerusalem on a donkey, a prophet named Zechariah, who had said this very thing was going to happen. He said a king will enter sitting on a donkey. But the disciples had forgotten because they had dreamed up this vision of what Jesus should be like. It wasn't until Jesus left and went to glory that they remembered. Jesus' calling is heavenly, not earthly. He did not come to be respected by you and me sitting here on earth. He entered simply and purely and honestly way back in a barn. His life was simple. His message was simple. He came to serve as a king. He came to walk alongside you and me. He humbled himself for everyday life when he could have stayed with his Father in glory. So maybe we should expect him to ride in clompity-clomp, clompity-clomp on a donkey. Maybe it makes sense that he wore a simple tunic and leather sandals. Maybe it makes sense that he delighted in broken off tree branches that waved in the air, because that was just the kind of thing that would please Jesus. Maybe that crowd that was full of doubters and believers and sinners and faith followers, maybe those simple folks, everyday folks like you and me, were just the kind of people that would please him. Who are you in the Palm Sunday crowd? Could we be pieces of all of them? Could it be that part of us is curious, that oftentimes we just want to check Jesus out? I'm not totally ready to commit my life and surrender everything over because I'm not sure what he'll do with me. I'm not sure that when I call out Hosanna that I'm the one that needs saving. I think it's for someone else who I'm praying for that needs Hosanna. Maybe I'm curious because I come to church and I do good things during the week and I try to do what's best, but I'm not quite ready to commit my spiritual journey to him. I cannot cry out Hosanna today, but maybe soon. Or can you see yourself partly as a Pharisee, sometimes angry or disappointed that Jesus isn't who you thought he was, disappointed that the answers that you have been given aren't the answers that you wanted? Like the Pharisees, do you sometimes feel disappointed when folks worship in a way that you do not find meaningful? When the people began to praise Jesus and just started tearing off palm branches, would you have been like the Pharisee, at least a part of you that said, that's a little much? That looks like holy chaos to me. Or do you see yourself as a disciple? Is there a piece of you that goes, no, I am. I am a follower. I want this day to shout out to my Jesus, Hosanna, save me, which means I'm going to trade my life for your life. I want to trade my plans for your plans. I'm going to trade my will for your will. I will follow you. Amen.
You have sent him from your soul. his love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.